Susan plays the last song, maybe I think she's opening her book. If I could ask you to all move a little bit closer, I know we might be a smaller group, and we're going to sing a lot of carols today, and I think if we're kind of too far from each other, it won't sound as good to the church and to yourselves when you sing. So I think form a congregational choir of some sort. So sit a little closer so that the back benches are empty and we feel a little bit closer to each other. A joyful song to the Lord. Sing carols for the birth of a Savior. Raise your voices in praise to the Lord of hosts and give thanks with all your hearts. Welcome to our worship service this morning. It is a delight to be in the house of God together. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for melodies and harmonies, for voices of every pitch. Thank you for composers and poets, for instruments and musicians. Thank you for ears to hear and minds to comprehend the gift that was given so long ago and the gifts you still give today. You know the needs and pains of each one here. You meet us where we are. Emmanuel, God with us, be the song we sing, yours the melody we carry. Your song of peace ringing out through everything we say and do this Christmas season. Bless this time we share together. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Many of us enjoy music which accompanies the season. And this morning we want to spend much of the morning singing together. In history, actually, Christmas carols were not always appreciated. For a long time, all the carols were written in Latin and immensely unpopular. Only about 200 years ago, St. Francis of Assisi recognized the unpopularity of Christmas hymns and set out to change it. Most carols are either based on scripture or personal experience with God and God's people. This morning, we will read some of these scripture passages, as well as hear some stories, kind of background stories, to some of the carols, which tell the story of God's people rejoicing at the birth of Jesus. Words from the prophet Isaiah influenced the writing of O Come, Emmanuel. Isaiah 9, verse 2 and 6 and 7. The people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. O Come, Emmanuel was translated into English in 1861, and the original poem was much older, written in 1710. Neil, who translated this hymn, lived in a Madeira island near Africa, where he had established an orphanage, a school for girls, and a ministry to give women working the streets a new beginning. Neil first played this hymn for the people he served. His heart so often thought of the lowest in society. Today we continue to long, to ache, to yearn, and hope. We experience life between the reality of deep sadness and overflowing joy. It is good to have carols which capture both dimensions of life. Let us sing together O Come, Emmanuel, which is number 172 in your blue hymnal, followed by O Come, All Ye Faithful, 212.
So let's please stand, and we'll sing all verses of O Come, Emmanuel.
I'm
in the handouts that you were provided, if that's easier holding the sheet. And again, we will sing all four verses of "O Come, All Ye Faithful," and we'll remain standing.
Another carol we sing every Christmas is "O Little Town of Bethlehem." And just some background to this story that I found interesting is that I found, and I think some of it when you read the stories, they're not all the same. I think some of them are maybe mysticals and translated over generations and languages. So what has come to us is maybe not exactly how it happened, but I think there's some truth to every story that is being told and especially orally passed on. So Dr. Brooks is one of the best-known preachers in the U.S. of his time. He was a pastor of one of the first mega churches, and over 1,000 children attended Sunday school at Holy Trinity Church in Philadelphia, and back in the Civil War times, that was saying a lot. But in the months before Christmas of 1865, Dr. Brooks was becoming discouraged and tired. He was a preacher who sincerely loved his people. He wanted to give them good news, something that would lift their hearts. But it was a discouraging time for his country. Because of the war, every Sunday more women came to church wearing black because of the loss of a husband or a son. Each Sunday he came to the pulpit and he could feel their need for encouragement. But each Sunday brought more news of death and destruction and pain. Finally, the war was over, and Brooks thought maybe life would return to normal. He began to feel hope again, and he saw hope in the eyes of his people. But then came that awful day when President Abraham Lincoln was killed. Hearts sank again as everyone understood that the war might be ended, but the hatred remained. But the burden was even greater for Phillips Brooks. Even though Lincoln did not attend his church, Brooks was asked to preside over the funeral for the president. He felt ill-equipped to lead such a service, and it cost him a great deal to find the words and encourage to share a message of appreciation and love. Afterward, he was left almost empty. But Brooks didn't want to be empty. He knew that there was hope and peace and joy in Christ. So he traveled to the Holy Land, seeking the touch of the Lord. Israel of 1865 was much like it must have been during the time of Jesus. Brooks walked the streets of Jerusalem, and the darkness began to leave his soul. At one point, he left Jerusalem and rented a horse to ride to Bethlehem. There, his heart was touched in a special way, and he wrote, "Before dark, we rode out of town to the field where they say the shepherd saw the star. It is a fenced piece of ground with a cave in it, in which, strangely enough, they put the shepherds. Somewhere in those fields we rode through, the shepherds must have been. As we passed, the shepherds were still keeping watch over their flocks." Then he added, "I was standing in the old church in Bethlehem, close to the spot where Jesus was born, when the whole church was ringing hour after hour with the splendid hymns of praise to God. How again and again it seemed as if I could hear voices I know well, telling each other of the Savior's birth." Even though he returned home inspired and encouraged, it took some time before he could put into words the thoughts that touched his heart that day. In 1868, Brooks gave his organist, a famous musician named Louis Radner, a poem. Radner struggled to write music to fit the poem, and finally, on Christmas Eve, he simply gave up. He just couldn't compose something that fit the words he had been given. But that night, the Lord seemed to give him what he needed. He woke up and realized what a tune was already running through his head, the tune we now enjoy. The song was sung on Christmas morning, 1868, for the first time. Then it was printed and circulated around the city of Philadelphia. The words and music touched many hearts, and it quickly became one of the most popular Christmas carols of our time.
Well, the little town of Bethlehem, it's in the first page, top right hand corner of the sheets, or hymn number 191.
Thank you.
We have several carols which emphasize the importance of angels and their message to God's people of peace for all nations. And that continues to be our hope each Christmas. Jesus did come to bring us peace. One of these carols is Hark the Herald Angels Sing. But first let us listen to Luke 1, verses 26 to 35 and 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him a throne, the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He'll be called Son of God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. Hark the Herald Angels Sing is a carol which has drawn insight from this passage. Charles Wesley originally wrote this poem to be recited on Christmas Day. And the music was later added by Felix Mendelssohn. So let us sing together two hymns of angels.
Thank you.
seven angels we have heard on high. And in our folders here, it's on the inside right hand side, middle at the bottom.
It was truly a holy and divine night on which Jesus was born. So much hope was placed on this tiny baby. And we want to sing two songs of the holy night. First, a very familiar story behind a holy night. The story is being told of a parish priest in a small French town commissioned a local poet to write a poem for the village Christmas Eve Mass. Chapeau read through the birth of Christ in the Gospel of Luke en route to Paris and finished the poem, O Holy Night, by the time he reached the city. Chapeau turned to his friend Adolphe Charles Adams to compose the music to the poem, and 3 weeks later the song was sung in the village on Christmas Eve. Initially, the carol was widely loved by the church in France. But when leaders learned that Chapeau was a socialist and Adams a Jew, the song was uniformly denounced as unfit for church services. But the common French people loved it so much, they continued to sing it. The song came to the U.S. via John Sullivan Dwight, an abolitionist during the Civil War. Moved by the line in the third verse, "Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease," he published it in his magazine and quickly found favor in the North during the war. Even though it was banned in France, the song was still popular among the people. On Christmas Eve, 1871, and I think this is a very familiar story as well, in the midst of fierce fighting between France and Germany, during the Franco-Prussian War, an unarmed French soldier jumped out of the trenches, walked into the battlefield, and began to sing. After singing all three verses, a German soldier emerged and started singing, "Vom Himmel hoch, da komme ich her. Ich bring euch gute neue Mär. Der gute Mär bring ich so viel, davon ich singen und sagen will." The beginning of a popular hymn by Martin Luther. Fighting stopped for the next 24 hours in honor of Christmas Day. Soon after, the French church re-embraced O Holy Night. Let us sing it together.
Thank you.
What I found interesting about the background to this hymn was apparently the organ broke in a town in Austria, and so this Silent Night was always sang with guitar. But in my memory, it's always sang with piano, so it's just interesting how sometimes, it sounded lovely with piano today again, but I thought next time you might have to try it with guitar just to see what the difference it would make. I invite all the children to come forward for a children's story.
Everybody, this is loud. This is a book that I got one of my first Christmases when I was a little baby. It's about a shy donkey, the donkey's Christmas song. And when the animals come up, can you guys help me what the animals make with their sound or with their noise? Under a bright star, a long, long time ago, a baby was born in a stable. The animals wanted to welcome the baby with their song, but the shy little donkey was afraid his bray was too loud. So the first to welcome the baby were the doves. What sound does a dove make? Just say it out loud. Good job. They sang their slow, sweet song. Then the cow welcomed the baby. She sang her low, warm song. Then the goats welcomed the baby. They sang their gentle song. Then the sheep welcomed the baby. They sang their tender song. And the chicks welcomed the baby. They sang their little song. And the mice welcomed the baby. They sang their quiet song. The baby looked over at the shy little donkey. The baby welcomed the donkey with his smile. The donkey sang his noisy song. And the baby laughed with joy. Then the donkey snuggled close. and kept the baby warm. Under the bright star a long, long time ago. Good job, Harry. You guys may go back to your seats.
What would Christmas be without some carols which highlight the star over Bethlehem? Listen to these words from Matthew 2. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophets. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, and they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We'll sing together, "O Beautiful Star of Bethlehem."
Thank you.
Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Joy to the world is based on this beautiful psalm, Psalm 98. And Joy to the World was written by Isaac Watts and published for the first time in 1719. After one Sunday service, a 15-year-old Isaac complained about the atrocious worship service. This is actually for my children. One of the deacons challenged him with, "Give us something better, young man." He went home and penned his first hymn. And the love of hymn singing stuck with him for the rest of his life. Watts transformed the old Jewish psalm of praise for historic deliverance into a song of rejoicing for the salvation of God that began when Jesus came to make his blessing flow for as far as the curse is found. And the music is from Friedrich Händel, and some scholars say it resembles his greatest work from the Messiah. Let us sing together, "Joy to the World." Today we light a candle on this Sunday to celebrate the arrival of Jesus in our midst. God, come to us in the utter freedom of vulnerable love.
In the cry of a baby entering the world for the first time.
We confess, God, that we sometimes prefer a disembodied gospel, one that doesn't get us involved in the world you created.
Yet you have come into all of our messiness, trouble, and sin. Oh, how great your love for us.
We light this candle to celebrate that great love that comes into our world and into our lives. Help us to cherish that love.
To bask in that love. To experience forgiveness and new life in that love. May that love ignite in us a flame for others.
Together. Liberating God, Set us free as we walk this road of freedom. Give us more love. Give us more hope. Give us peace and more joy. I invite the ushers to come forward to receive today's offering. Let us pray together. Lord, let our congregation be a witness to you, immersed in scripture, constant in prayer, joyful in worship, generous in giving, a loving, supportive community reaching out to those in need. Accept these gifts we offer in Jesus' name. Amen. Take some time for announcements. If you have any, to come forward. I just have two that next Sunday, I know that some of you are probably really looking forward to. We will go back to our very traditional and orderly, organized Sunday school classes. So everyone knows where to go. I know that some of you have not been together for a while, so it will be good to be together in your groups again. That will begin next Sunday. There won't be Sunday school today. And Matthew and I will be gone from Tuesday to Friday. If you need to get a hold of us, maybe start with Lois first, but we can be contacted via email as well, and we'll check occasionally.
The worship team, on behalf of the Nith Valley congregation, want to thank our participants for the excellent Christmas Eve service on Thursday evening. The Nith Valley Choir, led by Jana Lynn Cressman with Susan Cressman and Terry Keller performing a duet, set the stage for the presentation of the Reader's Theater production, Jesus the Refugee. The cast for this presentation, Kogan, McKaylee, and Taden Shantz, along with Brandon Wall, kept us intimately involved with three different refugee situations that occurred over many years, yet continue to be an ongoing concern for caring Christians throughout the world. It was a most moving and thought-provoking service, so thanks, everyone.
There are no further announcements. Let us pray together. It may seem naive in a world of grief to choose to live with joy. It may seem foolish in a world where seriousness is power to sing and dance to a different tune. It may seem cruel in a world of suffering and injustice to speak of light and celebration. But you have come, Jesus, to bring joy into our grief, light into our darkness, singing into our mourning, and it is an act of healing and proclamation to believe and embrace the joy you offer. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Hallelujah. Amen. This morning we want to end our service by singing together our theme song for this Advent, number 109, and sing The Journey. There is more love, more hope, more peace, and more joy somewhere. In our green book, 109, sing The Journey. And I ask you to stand for singing of the hymn and then the benediction. Rejoice in God's steadfast presence in our lives and in God's unique presence in the life of Jesus of Nazareth, born of Mary, growing through childhood and into adult ministry, in all his life manifesting the peace, love, joy, and justice of God, his voice undimmed by the centuries, his call and his promise as clear to us as it was to his disciples so long ago. Come to us, Lord Jesus. Be born in us again this season, in our hearts, our minds, our lives. May the light of your life be kindled in us and lead us to the shining truth of God with us, God for us, God in us. Amen.
We're not quite finished yet. I invite the Ezert-Bender family to come up here, and Lyle as well. We have a little presentation to make. And I hear there weren't too many gifts this year.
Nope.
Is that right? The other one's over there, Lyle, that green one. Now, these first things are a little bit goofy. That one you can give to Matthew.
What did you have? Show it to the church.
Oh,
And some of you can read this, some of you can't.
It's for them to practice their German books. And Haneke has a German game as well. So when you go babysitting, guys, or when you're looking after little people, you can use these books to entertain them and practice your German at the same time. And Matthew, that is...
Subway.
When you're on the road, maybe you can use the subway cards. And have you heard of this game before? It's Finnish, I believe. It's a lot of fun, and I hope that your family can enjoy that together. Now, it's outdoor. Yeah, it's an outdoor game. And I have a prayer for all of you before you go back. So let's pray together. God, it's that time of year when we show our love and appreciation for special people in our lives. And today we give thanks for the Ezert Bender family, for Matthew, Hendrika, Benedict, Thomas, Haneke, and Felix. Thank you for the joy and enthusiasm for life that they bring to our congregation, for the care and the love they give each of us, for the spiritual nourishment and guidance and comfort that they provide. Give them courage as they lead the church in these next years of change. We thank you for the many lives that they touch beyond this place. Be with them as they interact outside these walls, be it at the arena, the pool, interfaith, wherever. May those they come in contact with see and feel that they spend time with you, that you matter in their lives. And it's a very busy time for all of them, and I pray that you would help them balance and juggle the many good things that they're involved in. Keep them from feeling overwhelmed, and help them to take time for rest and refueling, and set healthy boundaries for themselves. And Benedict, Thomas, Haneke, and Felix, you're all becoming more independent now, and I ask God that you protect them and keep them from harm as they stretch their wings. Lord, may you bless them and keep them, be gracious to them, and may your face shine on them and give them peace. Amen. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. You're all invited to do a little bit more visiting downstairs over a cup of coffee or some juice. So please mingle downstairs a little bit more.